This is a spiritual reading being given for Prem Chidvilas on Saturday the 12th of February 2022 in Victoria, Australia by John Rawson. We stand within the hall of memory. The Book of the Soul is given into our hands. And the Book of the Soul, Prem, is a metaphor. It represents all the incarnations that the soul has entered into from the commencement of its physical existence until the present. Now, the book itself, as I hold it, has a cover, and the cover has a number of things on it. First of all, it has a colour, then it has a name, and then it has a symbol. And I'm going to start with the symbol because it's taking up so much of the book that it almost obscures the colour of the cover. And the symbol, as we see it, is that of a sun. Sort of like a stylized sun. It's yellow, brilliant, shining sun. And it shines so brightly that, as I say, the colour of the cover is almost washed out. But I can tell that the cover underneath is a purple. And the yellow, as it washes out from the sun, radiates out from the sun, transforms some of that purples into violets. Now, the sun, or the sun symbol, is also reflected in the title, the soul name, so to speak. And the name, as we see it here, is the Sun Hero. And what this means is that your soul has an affinity and a connection with the sphere of the sun. This spiritual expression of the sun. And the name indicates, as a sun hero, that incarnation after incarnation, you come into physical existence in order to express the radiance and the luminosity of the sun as it is. And sometimes this has been in existences or incarnations where you've done this in a very physical way, where you've been, for example, a military leader leading troops into battle or waging a crusade. Absolutely certain that you were on the side of right. But as the thousands and thousands of years wear on, the role that you play becomes more subtle. It becomes almost sublimated. And we'll see that this incarnation, that figure, that heroic figure, is to some extent cloaked. And we'll see what it's cloaked in later. the symbol of the sun, as I've expressed, is your connection to the realm, the spirit of the spiritual sun. And it may surprise you perhaps, but the being who rules the sun or who inhabits that realm is Christ. So therefore, within your soul, there is a great connection and affinity with the purposes of Christ in evolution. Now, the cover of the book is purples with violet tinges, and the colour purple, which we will see in a moment or so, is very significant in this incarnation and many other incarnations as well, I would have to say. But the colour purple represents the mediator, the one who in a sense wants to serve, but wants to be able to facilitate the purposes and the desires and goals of others. And in the past thousands of years, the colour often was associated with the priest, because the priest was the mediator between the spiritual worlds and humanity. But now it can manifest in more subtle expressions. We open the book of the soul and it opens to the present incarnation. And on the right-hand side, the soul has depicted for us a picture of itself. And the soul does this in terms of colours and images. And it shows you as a sort of an oval, like an egg, being, and the oval is composed of different colours and different forces, energies within the oval, which is of course your aura. And I'll come to the aura in a moment, but also within the aura are certain energies that are depicted as images or pictures or symbols. And then on the left-hand side of the book, the left-hand page, is a little verse. And the verse describes the purpose or the purposes of this incarnation. We will begin with the picture of the aura, and I will first of all list the colours in more or less an order of their importance and significance. And the first colour, the soul colour if you like, is purple. And you'll remember that was the colour of the book of the soul's cover. So that we see that in this incarnation, the soul wanted to manifest that ability to mediate and to unite heaven and earth in a sense. But whereas in other incarnations you might have picked something more overtly spiritual, in this incarnation the second colour, which is the way the soul makes contact with the world and how it engages with the world, the second colour is a light brown. And that indicates, because brown is the colour of the physical world, that indicates that in this incarnation you have to express your soul through something concrete, something practical within the physical world. And in a minute we'll see precisely what that is, although you would obviously know what that is yourself. Then there's a third colour, which is sort of a partial colour, and it's to do with the greens. And as a third colour, this more indicates where life will lead you and the certain qualities of the character and the personality that are manifested within the life. From the shoulders, the colour orange, reds, deeper reds around the throat, the heart and the gonads, indicating still a strong sense of will and a need to express oneself on the heart level. The deep reds around the gonads area indicate needing to confront one's sexuality in this incarnation, make sense of it, and not allow it to run away with you, but at the same time not to control it and suppress it. Round the hands, browns, very good for practical tasks and working. This often means a person does a lot of work with their hands, sometimes find it with people who work a lot in the garden or in the outdoors or build things. Well, of course, we know that you're a builder, so part of that. Round the feet, greens again. Greens around the feet, a sense of restlessness, and can indicate a difficulty in life or in early life coming to a strong sense of direction and purpose, and that you try different things, you try different experiences, you walk here and you walk there, perhaps you travel a lot. But that restlessness will take you and connect you with the energies that you need to complete this incarnation. Within the head, yellow-brown. And the vortex is interesting, it's more yellow. So at present, quite a lot of yellow going on. And yellow, when it comes in, it can be quite spacey because you start seeing a whole lot of things about yourself and about your life and about what you want to do, and your goals can change from where what you were doing at one phase of life, and that phase of life would have probably completed around 2019, about 2 to 3 years ago. That phase of life sort of came to an end, or started coming to an end, or that time marked the beginning of a transition. Beginning of the end, if you like. And at this point in your life, you're able to look around and survey, because yellow is also the colour of vision and understanding. The cosmic colours as we see them at present, and the cosmic colours are not part of the aura per se. They represent energies coming towards you from the spiritual worlds, and if you can work with these energies, then in years to come and incarnations to come, they will be part of the aura. And above the head is a light blue, indicating spiritual revelation, spiritual insight, release of the old, and venturing into new vistas. below the feet a sort of an orangey red colour. Interesting that there's no light red in the aura. That's unusual. And light red is what lightens us up, makes us not be so serious, or not take ourselves so seriously. And I'm sure that you can do this too, but it's more difficult when red is in the form of orange, as it is with you. So the brick orange red that's coming in is a lightness entering into the path and to the directions that you seek. It says, don't worry about being too serious or being too committed or being too this or that or the other. Just enjoy what life is offering and bringing towards you. When a path appears or a door opens in front of you, walk through it. When a pathway comes along, tread it. Life now is going to be an adventure, and it's an adventure that involves some ways an inner journey and in some ways an outer journey. The images in the aura, the symbols in the aura as we see them at present, on the left hand side, you pushing a lawnmower, an old fashioned hand mower. In the middle, we see you driving down a highway, sitting in the driver's seat. And on the right hand side is an old fashioned lamp, like an oil lamp. And these symbols represent energies working within the aura and indicate, usually the left hand side represents the energies that were working in the past. The center represents what's in front of you now, and the right is what's coming to you in the future that perhaps can't be seen yet. Above the head, sitting about 3 to 4 inches, is the symbol of the overself. And the symbol of the overself is a representation of the real self. The real self goes by so many names, as you would know. It could be the I Am, the Christ self, the divine spark, the Atman, the Buddha nature, so many names. But it's the reality within our being. And that reality cannot be seen by any clairvoyant, any spiritual gift, because that is the most sacred part of a human being, and no other vision may transgress upon it. But fortunately for us and for you, the overself, the real self, expresses itself through the soul, and it shows us a symbol, and the symbol represents the process that the soul is presently engaged in, and it changes as we grow and evolve. And the present symbol is an oil lamp, an old lamp, old-fashioned lamp, standing on a plinth, sort of a small pedestal, inside a darkened, but not completely dark, church, cathedral, temple, something like that. It's a very ritualistic structure around it, and the lamp is in the centre. Now, on the left-hand side of the Book of the Soul is the verse, and the verse represents the tasks that the soul undertook in this incarnation, and it has a title which, if you like, summarizes the soul's purpose in this life. And the title is The Builder. So indicates that your work in this incarnation, as in others by the way, has been to build. And in there've been incarnations where you actually physically were a builder. You had a connection, for example, with the Chartres Cathedral. You were responsible for directing the creation of the Rose Window. You didn't build it yourself, but your work was around the technical sides of that. The artists put the pictures together, but you physically put these in place and put the window in the wall. And that's an interesting place to have a window, because Chartres, as I'm sure you would know, is associated with two spiritual streams, the Rosicrucian stream and the Melchizedek stream, and indicates that you have both streams flowing within you. That is, that you have the connection with the spiritual teachings, and in that incarnation it was your responsibility to help portray the teachings, the esoteric teachings, the secret teachings, in stone and in pictures, in statuary. But the connection with the Melchizedek stream is also to do with a connection with Christ and with the origin of your soul from the sun. So that's the title, The Builder. And there are four lines in the verse. First line, to build the body. Now that's an interesting one, because you had an incarnation, where is this, in Tibet, in about the 8th century, where you were a yogi, and you practiced what we would call now ascetical practices. You starved yourself. You went for long periods of meditative retreats, and you ate sort of things like pills that were made out of essences of herbs and plants, and you didn't have a very long life because you actually maltreated the body so much in your search for spiritual advancement that in the end you died. And so in this life, what you had to do first of all was build a physical body. And earlier in life you may have experienced difficulties in building the body. Particularly in childhood, you may have had certain illnesses, perhaps problems with or allergies to foods, or perhaps problems in absorbing certain nutritional elements, so that you'd have had to work through that, and again through the period of puberty in your early 20s, so that there was a time in your life where you actually had to focus on building a physical body. Then the second line, first line to build a body, second line to build a life, the third line to build a vocation, and the fourth line, this is where we are now in this point in life, to build the soul. So you've built your life, built your physical body, you've built your life, you have built your vocation, and you see, you've fulfilled those three tasks for which you came into incarnation. And now you're in the best time of your life, in a sense, because you get to build the soul levels. you get to express the inner divinity, the spark of God that we carry within us. And the more you allow this to express within your life, the more your life is transformed, and the more doors open, and the more different pathways appear to you. So this is a wonderful time of life. Let's come back to the first colour, and that's the colour purple. The purple, as I've said, is a mediator. Incarnation in the 19th century here, where you were in a black physical body, an African-American physical body. And you actually managed to become a doctor against all the odds. You actually acquired medical qualifications. And you practiced in New York, I think it is, in Harlem, and you served mainly the black community. And that was a great thing to do, because it's interesting, because there was a lack of medical medical help within the situation at the time, within the system. And in that incarnation, you were gay, and you had a gay relationship with another black man, another African American, and you managed it quite discreetly for many years. You lived together in the same building, but that wasn't uncommon for two men to live together. So you managed to avoid the scrutiny of society. You were able to hide your relationship. But eventually, the rumours grew so badly that you both had to leave and give up the medical practice. It's interesting that you went to South America, where the mores were not so Victorian. Died there of overconsumption of alcohol, so you probably would be careful about how much alcohol you consumed in this life. In fact, you might even want to eliminate it totally from your diet. Now, that incarnation, you practiced two things that are associated with your soul. First of all, you acted as the mediator. You were the mediator between the health system, the hospital system very often, the health system, and the people who would not have got access to hospital help very often, or to pharmaceuticals, to healing, if it wasn't for you. You also practiced the aspect of the sun hero, because it was a sort of a heroic incarnation, where you took this role. Not only were you a member of a despised minority, you were a member of a minority within that minority that was even more despised, and you still took that on, and you refused to let yourself be defined by the codes of other people. You were a bit reckless in that incarnation because you were so determined to do good, so idealistic, that in the end it turned against you and people, you were driven out of that vocation, that practice. The purple's also linked to an incarnation in Egypt. Sorry, before we go to that one, there's an incarnation in Greece about 200 years before Christ, where you're in a female body in this incarnation, and you're a priestess of the goddess Pallas Athene, vowed in that incarnation to celibacy, to chastity, and you broke your vow in that incarnation. You had an affair with a painter, someone who's very artistic, and the painter want you to break your vows and leave the service of the goddess. But you refused. But the goddess, or the energy, if you like, that female energy, had its revenge because the experience of breaking your vows of chastity produced a sort of an energy within you that affected your cognitive abilities, and so you become unable to think, and you were driven out by this aberration. Thinking, driven out into the wilderness, where you lived a subsistence life on the edge of the settlement, scrounging whatever food you could and eating berries and roots and whatever you could get from the land. And you died quite young, about the age of 36. So that incarnation did two things. First of all, it made you, in this life I would think, quite wary of how you would express your sexuality. And that person should have come into your life again, that person who was your lover in the second century Greece. That person would have come into your life in this incarnation, and there should have been an opportunity to repair the relationship, which means that it might have lasted for a short time, perhaps 4 or 5 years, and then perhaps it would have transformed into something like a friendship. The incarnation in Egypt. Here we see you in a male body, and you are in charge, you're a priest in the temple, so another priestly incarnation, and you are in charge of the records, scrolls of papyrus, and what was called there the leather books, which contained information on things like mathematics and building. And part of your work there was to interpret the scrolls for the builders and the architects, so that the scrolls were not really like a textbook. They were more like a record of what had been done in the past and previous attempts. And so one of the early pyramids was built sort of out of kilter. It wasn't finished off properly, and the instructions for that were in the leather books, so that when the next generation came, a priest like you could go and give the architect the information and they could correct what had been done wrongly. And so you were associated there, this is about 1500 years before Christ, with the buildings also of some of the pyramids in Egypt. The browns in the aura, a strong association here with the earth, with the physical world, indicates someone who can handle working with the physical world. And when you've got the browns there, it often does mean that you will build or do handyman work, or that you'd be very good at certain trades that are to do with the earth, like gardening, landscaping, horticulture, but even more to do with trades that are to do with putting up structures. I think that's the best way I can put it. And it's interesting that you have an association too with the arts. That's a bit hard to explain, but we see you in the city of Byzantium about the 5th century, where you're part of the building of the Hagia Sophia, the Church of Saint Sophia, and there you're helping, as I see, you're helping doing something very special, and that's erecting a very large dome. So again, working with architecture and working with building, but more in terms of creating something of beauty. And that comes from the architecture of the Church of Saint Sophia. Comes from the Atlantean period, where you were associated with the Atlantean temples, in particular with the Sun Temple. And here you were sort of like a caretaker. Your work was to make repairs and to keep the building, so to speak, living. And the Atlantean temples were not just concrete or steel or wooden buildings, they were made from living materials. And I can't be more specific than that. But part of your work was to maintain the life levels of the materials. And you were on the sort of the outer part of the temple staff. And you will have met people in this incarnation who were in the temple at that particular time and associated with the, I think we'll call it a priesthood again. And you were brought into the inner circle in that incarnation, but you wouldn't take the final step, which was to be sealed in the Atlantean, or in this particular incarnation, so that you would become part of the work of Christ in later years. And that is a continuing story, but in that time you in that time you wouldn't go there. You wanted to maintain who you were and your abilities. You didn't want to have them sealed off so that you could no longer express your clairvoyance and your spiritual vision. The Greens indicate a restlessness, and it's not the sort of restlessness that makes you move often, so that you might have lived where you are for quite a number of years, but it indicates that the soul nature is, there's a restlessness within your soul, and that makes it difficult to make a commitment, because you're always hesitant to commit to this or to that, or to promise yourself to this, partly because in previous incarnations, as we've seen to some extent, you've made a commitment and then broken it, and the consequences have been severe. But in this life, you are going to come to places where you yearn to make a commitment, and you will have experienced this at least twice in this incarnation already, and there should be more to come, so that with each commitment it becomes, you get the strength to make another commitment, until in the end the focus is on the one path and the one direction. Now we're going to go to the oranges, because there's a very powerful life. The oranges are the colour of thought, but not intellectual thought per se. It's more thought as a discipline. It's like a philosopher, or it's someone who loves to learn things, has a love of ideas and perhaps theories, and in spiritual sense, different spiritual paths and different spiritual teachings. And it means sometimes people pursue this all their lives, so that it's a combination of the red, which is passion, and the yellow, which is intellect. So you can be passionate about your spiritual direction, or your intellectual direction, or your idealistic understandings. You're passionate about all these things. But orange is also the colour of Christ, and you have a connection with Christ through the order of Melchizedek, and through the sun, and through the sun temple. There's a lot. Now, you had an incarnation in first century Palestine where you met Christ, and you were, I think, in a male body. And you were sitting on the road as Christ was walking past, and you yelled out because you were had something of the old clairvoyance, the old atavistic clairvoyance, and you would go in and out of the physical body, so to speak. It was a remnant of Atlantean clairvoyance, and your consciousness would go in and out of the body. When it went out, you could actually see certain spiritual things around you. And when Jesus came along, you yelled out at him and said, "Jesus, Son of God, have mercy upon me." And Jesus stopped, and he wasn't at all pleased that you had perceived this this about him, that whom he was. He wasn't making it known to the world at that stage. And so the Gospels would have it that he rebuked the spirit and told it to come out. Now, what that meant is that the old soul, the old form of the soul, was taken out. The shell, as it were, which had been with you since Atlantis, was removed. And at that point, the I am, I'm not quite sure how to put it, but another portion of the soul descended. When you take this shell out, what's left is something that's pure and lacks intellectual structure and organization. In other words, you became, what's the polite way of saying it? You became like an idiot, an absolute mental idiot. And you could no longer had the wonderful vision, but you had something else then. You had this incredible innocence. And you became like a little child. And Jesus also said that unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So from that point on, you became able to enter in to the new consciousness that Christ would bring into evolution. Incarnation in the 3rd century, again in a male body, in Persia, as a member of a sect. Now, what's the name of that sect? The Manichaean sect. As your name began with Ma, well, that was your first name, Ma something or other, and you were an elder or a superior, an initiate in the sect, and you were caught up in by the Persian government, who wasn't very happy with some of these people, and put to death in a rather horrible way. You were crucified on a rotating wheel. Very painful death. So again, you might be cautious in this life about making too loud a commitment to a spiritual belief or faith, because you've been punished for that in a couple of incarnations. But you see, the wonderful thing is that when Christ renewed the soul within you, that from that point on, that you could acquire, gradually attract back to you the soul components without the shadow, without the shells. Yellow, brownish yellow within the head. That's actually a good sign for thinking, for being able to deal logically, for being able to have conversations and explain things and communicate. May mean that you are involved in training or teaching others in your life. Gives you the ability to put concepts that might be quite abstract into concrete examples that other people can understand. The vortex, which is yellow, it's a pure yellow, which is very unusual, especially when you've got yellow in the head already. But the vortex is actually associated with the Buddha. And it's interesting that you had an incarnation at the time when the Buddha was alive, and you were able to sit at the feet of the Buddha. You were became one of his disciples, spent lots and lots of times meditating, and so you've had lives where you've been where meditation has been very important, where spiritual practice has been very important. But this has been a life of balance. We've needed to bring spirituality into balance with creation in the physical world. Reverend Mario had a saying, it's possible to be too spiritual to be of an earthly good. So you've had incarnations like that where you were so idealistic or so spiritual that you ended up sort of self-destructing in a way, and becoming so obsessed with an ideal or a practice that you lost sight of the reality that you had to live within a physical body. So this incarnation, the purpose of this incarnation is strongly to work with the physical body, to bring it vitality and strength, not to dissociate from it, but to integrate with it. And that's why you've had to have a life, it's probably been quite hands-on, doing a lot of practical things, and having to work in very practical, down-to-earth situations, even if you've been able to imbue that with your own inner light and inner energy. Yellow brings with it almost a dissociation, a feeling that one can almost float in meditation, in contemplation. And it's a wonderful expression in terms of reflection. So it indicates that at this stage you should be reflecting on your life, on your ability, on your learning, on your training, on your abilities. Everywhere, it's a time for reflection. And then it's a time for planning and creating a new map. I think that's the best way of expressing that. Over the next few years, the blues will come closer and closer. And you'll experience that again as being part of the spiritual worlds. That again, you'll have the ability and the power to enter into spirit. It's interesting too that you're going to take action, because that's the brick reds beneath your feet. And green makes you want to change, but the reds make you change with purpose. Wonderful spiritual energy is entering at the moment, and also artistic. You know, green is also associated with music. This is a great time to have music in your life, to sing, to use the voice even. If you play an instrument, to play with people, to be part of music in some way. And sometimes people with this colour learn musical instruments. But however you do it, music is a very powerful aid for healing and liberation at this point in time. Connection with healing as well. The symbols within the aura. On the left, you're pushing a lawnmower, old-fashioned lawnmower. My goodness, were those hard to push if the grass got a bit long. And that represents the past. It represents that you had a job to do. It was a straightforward job. You had to make things happen. You had to clean things up in your life. You had to bring order, organization into your life. That's what happens when you mow a lawn. You make it look neat and tidy. You beautify things. You put your energy into creating something that's beautiful. At the moment, you're seated at a wheel of a car and you're driving down this highway. And the highway just goes on, and it's a wonderful time in life. For the next 10, 15, 20 years, you're going to experience that the world is opening up to you. And don't the 60s and the 70s, they are not the end of life, they are the best part of life. The soul, for the first time, is free to play, free to create, free to build. On the right-hand side, the lamp, the old oil lamp, that indicates the need, or the day will come when you'll be taking a light to shine into the dark corners, not only of your own soul and your own life, but into the lives of other people. And people will come towards you for advice and for insight. The symbol of the over-self is the oil lamp in the midst of a beautiful cathedral, temple. And it's seated on a plinth, which means that it's the holy of holies. This is what's at the core of your being. It's the light. But the light is at present in this dark building. And although it illuminates the building, the building itself is dead. There's much more. So what needs to happen is that you need to take your light out into the world. Your inheritance is the inheritance of every soul who's born from the sun realms. And that is that you get to shed light into the world. Don't be in a hurry. Festina lente, make haste slowly, as the Romans would say. You have time. Nothing is being asked of you at present except to be in the present. Because when we allow ourselves to be, that's when we nurture and fuel the inner light. And the more we are silent, and the less we say, and the less we contrive in our minds, the more powerful we become in reality. And if you can continue to express the power of the inner silence, then you don't have to say anything, because your being, your life, your words, your gestures, they too become filled with power. And it's enough sometimes to stand beside a soul who's troubled, who's heavy laden, who's in darkness. You don't have to give them some profound meaning of life. All you need to do is be silent and listen. Because the words that Christ said to you, be silent and come out, those words resonate in your being forever. And you, by being silent, can also summon the reality of other beings, the reality of other people, other souls. You can summon them from the darkness into the light. And that would be a wonderful and special task. so shall it be.